Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, happy 4th of July to you. Thanks for being with us for a live program, or a mostly live program today on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, we do this each weekday at 11 a.m. We wanted to keep working right on through with a live show today on 4th of July. For those of you that might be out and about getting ready for fireworks and parties and other get-togethers and gatherings today with some information for you in the program. So thanks for being with us. And again, we do this each weekday. And again, 11 a.m. the live show, 3 p.m. the replay most days here on the Big X. And there are all sorts of ways to listen. If you can't catch us locally on the radio, maybe you're not even in the local area, you can stream us at BigXSportsRadio.com. We're in the TuneIn app. A number of ways to listen to the program live. And you can also catch us as a podcast. We're in SoundCloud at SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. We're in the SoundCloud app, the Apple Podcast app. Two easy ways to catch us if you miss anything live. And we appreciate those of you that are with us on a daily basis, one way or the other, whether it's through the radio or the podcast. We are glad to have you each day. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. I had a chance yesterday to talk with Jeffersonville's Trey Coleman, who is a local player that's garnered a lot of additional scholarship offers over the last 2, 3, 4 days now. I think he's up to 7 or 8 total, and 5 or 6 of those have come really since playing Friday and Saturday up in Indianapolis in front of college coaches. I talked with Trey about some of his interest, about some of his offers, if he has any sort of timetable for when he would like to make a decision, and just generally get caught up with Trey about all the good things going on for him right now. So that'll come up here in the first segment. We're going to replay that for you in just a bit. Later in the program, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He joins us live today for a conversation on IU basketball. There's recruiting stuff to talk about. There's Romeo in the NBA. Does he play in the summer league to get to? And also, of course, an assistant coach opening at a very odd time of year for this IU basketball program. So we'll talk with those items and more with Alex today when he's with us in the program on this special 4th of July show. And then later in the show, if you missed it yesterday, we're going to close things out on this Thursday show with a replay of our interview with Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston, who is the pre- and post-game television host for the Celtics games. So he's on top of the Romeo situation, the injury, all the latest, and really, I thought, did a good job yesterday setting the scene for Romeo Langford and his rookie year. So if you missed it yesterday, we'll have it back for you today as we close out this special show. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a quick look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Not a ton to get to today. As you can imagine, the day before, the day of holiday, normally pretty slow unless there's a recruiting commitment or some sort of breaking news, but otherwise a pretty slow news day. I did see that Cliff, this is just an interesting fact more than anything, Cliff Marshall, the strength and conditioning coach that we talk so much about for IU basketball, especially in the offseason, which is when his job really seems to come to the forefront, getting the team trained and ready for next year. I did see that he tweeted out yesterday, he's excited that, and I'm reading his tweet, excited that Joe Mazzulla is coaching Romeo Langford in Boston. I had the chance to train Joe when he was a player. It's a small world, and everything comes full circle. So Mazzulla, a new coach, a new addition to the Boston Celtics bench, as is female Kara Lawson, who's made a lot of headlines with her hire being one of just a handful of female assistants in the NBA. Mazzulla is a former mid-major college coach and is entering the NBA as an assistant coach for the Celtics. He was actually the guy, if you saw the picture of Romeo with a coach with a computer in front of him, studying, talking, discussing whatever it was, offenses, defenses, who knows. That was Joe Mazzulla, one of the Boston Celtics assistant coaches. He's also was in a couple photos with Romeo when he was working on his form of his shot that have been kind of made their way out on social media with some of the various stories about Romeo as well. So interesting there. That's a connection. And speaking of the Celtics, summer league play begins on Saturday for the Boston team out in Las Vegas. The Las Vegas Summer League getting ready to begin here in just a few days. You've got the Salt Lake League going on, Salt Lake City League going on, which is where Juwan Morgan and the Jazz have been playing. Of course, Morgan got some time, no points, but some time the other day and a couple rebounds, I think four or five rebounds to be specific. But Boston will open play this weekend out in Vegas in the NBA Summer League. And, again, we're still waiting to see. And this is something that if you missed it yesterday, you can hear Kyle Draper address. But, you know, not sure that we'll see Romeo Langford in Summer League this year. No one, including the Celtics, have closed the door on anything just yet. But waiting to see how he is recovering and what the doctors say. He's not doing any live contact stuff. We've kind of been updating that each day on the program. But the Celtics, July 6th at 5:30, they'll take on the 76ers on ESPN. Then they play the 8th, 9th, and 11th. And then the 12th through the 15th is when the single elimination tournament bracket begins for the Summer League Championship. So nothing shut the door completely on Romeo in the Summer League, but we'll see if he actually suits up for the Celtics or all at all coming up here very soon. In a couple days they'll start. Not that he couldn't be added a little bit later, but it's just such a short window. I mean, you start July 6th. The league, I think, is over with the championship on the 15th. So there's a number of days if they continue to advance in the tournament. But if they don't advance in the tournament, you start the 6th and you're done the 12th. You play the 6th, the 8th, the 9th, the 11th, and the 12th for sure. Anything beyond that, you've got to advance and win to continue on in the NBA Summer League. So a couple notes there today. Also a programming note. Don't forget, we'll be back at the Little League Park at Jeff GRC on Friday. We'll have the 2 12-year-old, that's the major division of Little League Baseball, the semifinals on Friday for you starting at about 5:30. We'll be on a few minutes before 5:30 with the lineups and pregame coverage. Lots of local sponsors making that extra coverage that we do from the District 5 tournament every year possible. So neat to be at the park with the young kids and help make it a special night for them. And then we'll be back on Monday for the championship games as well. We'll have a handful of championship games for you Monday night live here on the Big X. Okay, yesterday I had an opportunity to talk with Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville. I said this during the interview with Trey, and I've said it other times here as well. I'm not sure that anybody in the state has picked up as many scholarship offers as he has in as short a period as he has, basically from Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, until now. The dude has received a lot of interest from colleges. In addition to the offers, Iowa has called Coach Luce, so you got a Big Ten school beginning to show some interest on Trey. And again, July is going to be really big for him because he's going to have the opportunity to play with his travel team now, go to the NCAA Academy camp out in Illinois as well. He talked some about that in the interview. But let's play back Trey Coleman from yesterday with an update on his recruitment. And we're back talking with Jeffersonville standout Trey Coleman, who has had a boatload of scholarship offers over the last few days. They continue to come in from a lot of mid-major programs across the region, really across the country. And I've said this a couple times this week. I'm really not sure that I have seen a player from the state of Indiana that had a better June as far as how the recruiting has went. Trey seems to be landing offer after offer. He had some offers previous to this and landed his first offer last summer, but really they are coming in now for Trey Coleman. Trey, first off, congratulations, man. You've turned some heads this month. You've got a lot of additional scholarship offers on the table. How does it feel to know all these coaches want you? It's not just one or two schools. You've had a number of offers come in.
It feels really good just having the coaches only notice you. Really, you've been putting all that work in to try to get it, so it feels really good having your work feel accomplished. I'm not done yet, though.
Yeah, you were recognized by coaches, you know, a year ago. I think New Orleans may have been your first Division I scholarship offer, but it seems that more and more they are beginning to come in now that the coaches can be on the road and you are getting ready to be a senior when school resumes.
Right.
Any thought on, you know, schools that you like, or are you just kind of taking it all in right now with so much movement in your recruiting?
I'm really just taking it all in. My phone's really been off the hook right now in the last couple of days. So I'm just really taking it all in. I haven't really leaned towards one school or the other. I'm just going to weigh my options after this July, see where I'm at.
Now, what's been going well for you this month? It's a different month with the high school team, but coaches could be there at some of the events this weekend. I know Jeffersonville's got a load of talent. I know you're going to be the leader of that team next year, but I have to believe you've been playing some really good basketball as you guys have made your way around to some of the colleges for team camps, and then, of course, getting to play at the Charlie Hughes event last weekend in Indianapolis with a lot of coaches there.
Right. I feel like we're going to be a really good team. Just I can give some of the credit to my teammates because they've really been playing hard and they've made me look good. So we've been playing well. We've actually lost by three games this summer. So I think we're going to be a state contender.
Talking with Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville here on the Hoosier Report. I don't want to put you on the spot and ask you to name every single scholarship offer that you have because I know you've had a lot of them come in here even over the last 24, 48 hours or so. But name some of the different schools that have contacted you and some of the schools that have offered you here recently since this June evaluation period.
Some of the offers were like schools like Nevada and Miami of Ohio, Mary State. I probably got like five more. And the schools who contacted me who haven't offered yet, Iowa has contacted me. I'm not too sure who else has. Those are the schools who've been in most contact, really.
What have you been doing well this month recently that you feel like has maybe added some additional schools to your recruiting, some additional scholarships? Is there a part of your game you've been working on since, you know, the end of the school, the end of the high school season? Any specifics?
Really just shooting off the dribble, showing I can play the wing at the next level, showing my toughness and confidence, really. Confidence is probably the biggest thing. But I came into gym with a different mindset to try to prove that I can play this position at the next level.
Talking with Jeffersonville senior to be Trey Coleman today on the Hoosier Report. I know you've got so many new offers, it's probably hard to think too far down the line right now as you talk to all these different coaches and hear their different pitches for why they want you to come to their school. But have you and your family, have you and Coach Luce, have you talked about maybe when you're going to really start to decipher some of this information and make a final list or even make a decision? Is that going to come before the high school season? Could you see it going into the high school season? What's your timeline, Trey?
Right now I see my decision being made before the start of my first game as a senior. I think I'll have a decision before then.
Absolutely. Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville, our guest. Let's talk a little more about your Jeffersonville team. Sectional champions a year ago, and kind of odd to see the entire roster return. No graduates on that sectional championship team from a year ago. You mentioned you're excited that the team has really only lost a handful of games this summer. Talk about some of your teammates. Jacob Jones the other day got his first Division I scholarship offer. There's some young talent on the roster as well. This is a Jeffersonville team with you at the top and the leadership from other seniors with also some young talent that could be very, very good this coming season.
Right. I feel as if we can really make a state run. We've really been working hard, showing we can play with anybody in the state. We've been playing people tough. So I think once we start practicing really and getting into it. I think no one can beat us.
Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville with us. Trey, thanks so much for the update on your recruiting. I have a feeling that there are more scholarship offers to come. And before we let you go, what's next for you? I know things are done for Jeffersonville as far as playing summer league games and going to some team camps at colleges, but you've got some additional basketball opportunities where you'll be back in front of college coaches in July. What are some of those opportunities in front of you?
The next live period will be, I think, July 11th through 14th. I'll be in Alabama.
Good stuff.
Play in front of the coaches.
Good stuff. Anything beyond that this month, or is the one shoe circuit weekend what you've got left?
No, they're doing a college camp, and they send you where to go, and mine is in Champaign, Illinois, and that's at the end of July.
Absolutely.
We go there, we stay in dorms for the NCAA camps.
Yeah, NCAA Academy. So you've got a number of days ahead of you here this summer to play in front of Division I college coaches. That's great. Trey, thanks again for the update. Congratulations on all the offers. Really look forward to following you and your team this upcoming high school basketball season, and I know we'll continue to stay up with you here on the Hoosier Report. We appreciate the chat today.
Yep, thank you.
And again, that was Jeffersonville's Trey Coleman. I caught up with him yesterday, and we wanted to play that for you on the program today. But a lot of recruiting interest, a lot of scholarship offers, and exciting, I'm sure, for him to know that even calls from school like Iowa, a high major school, Big Ten Conference school. It'll be interesting to see if he stays in the mid-major category or maybe if he plays himself into an Iowa offer or some bigger schools offering. But he's got a lot to choose from, even if nothing else changes right now. So good stuff for a local player. A number of local guys in June and July so far, the first few days of July, have had some really good news as far as college scholarship goes. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Happy 4th of July. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday edition of the program. Happy 4th of July. Thanks for being with us. And a special thanks to Alex Bozich for joining us on this holiday. Alex is the editor of InsideTheHall.com and always with us Thursdays to talk IU basketball on the program. A lot of recruiting stuff going on, coaches on the road the last couple of weekends. We're entering the month of July, which is still going to be not as big, but a big month for coaches to get out and watch prospects. And we've got Romeo Langford with a lot of things going on as he gets settled in Boston to talk about, and more today. So a lot to cover, Alex, and we appreciate you being with us. I think maybe poolside today.
Actually, change of plans. Not poolside yet, so still at home, but looking forward to getting out later today and hopefully enjoying some sunshine. So hope you do the same, Matt.
Absolutely. Thank you. Let's talk recruiting to start things off. Archie and the staff on the road, so much focus on the Charlie Hughes event in Indianapolis where there were a lot of great in-state prospects. When you think about some of the names, and these are names that you and I and others on this show have spent a lot of time talking about, breaking down their game, getting to know, Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal seem to be two of at the top of the list because they're in-state, because they both have had great high school careers so far. When you kind of take a look at these guys with all that's happened in their recruiting, all the scholarship offers that have come in, the number of times maybe they've been on the IU campus and that the coaches have watched them play, do you have a player of those two, or maybe I guess generally the question, what are the chances IU lands one or both of those guys? And if it's just one, who is maybe, is there a lean from one of those guys for Indiana?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. We actually kind of discussed that this week on our podcast we recorded with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We had a similar question from a reader. And, you know, I would be absolutely floored, shocked if IU didn't land at least one of the two, and I wouldn't be surprised if they landed both. In terms of, you know, which one is more likely, it seems to me that Trey Galloway may be a little bit further along in the process right now in terms of when he could make a decision. Just from talking to him over the last month or so, I've talked to him in person on the phone. We also had another reporter that did some work for us talk to him at an event. And the feeling I get from Trey Galloway is that when he's ready and feels that he's ready to make his decision, he's just going to go ahead and do it. With Anthony Leal, seems a little bit more on a set timeline where I think that he wants to take visits in the fall and then make a decision. So, the one right now that seems more likely to commit sooner rather than later would be Trey Galloway, and I think IU's in great shape, but I would not be surprised if they're able to land both. My only question is how the timing of it's all going to work out, because if you remember when Archie talked back in late May, it was Huber's, he mentioned himself the number four in terms of the number of recruits that they're wanting to get in this class, and I'm just wondering, if they're able to get Leal and Galloway, how they would kind of surround them in terms of from a position fit in the class. But, I think they definitely want both and would take both. I just think, kind of the longer it goes into the process, the chance for maybe one of the spots that they would use on those guys to get taken up becomes higher. So, to answer your question, I would say that Galloway seems to me like a little bit more likely to happen sooner rather than later. And it seems like IU is in good shape with him, but I also would not discount the possibility of Leal committing to the Hoosiers as well.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest. And I think it's clear when you think about in-state players and you go back through some of the great, great classes, and I don't really just mean Indiana. I mean for players from our state that have went on to play college basketball and in many cases NBA professional basketball as well. But I think it's pretty well known that the 2021 class and even the 2022 class behind it are really coming together nicely as far as big-time prospects that are being ranked and recognized on a national level. 2020 is a good class. It's a solid class. Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal are fine players who are attracting all sorts of college interest. But given the fact that 2020 overall talent-wise may not be what 2021 or 2022 some of the younger classes will be and are starting to formulate to be, is it likely Indiana, especially if Coach Miller wants four players in the class, is it likely Indiana has to go out of state beyond those two if both were to become IU Hoosiers?
Yeah, and that's one reason I think that this assistant coaching hire is somewhat pivotal, because while Indiana's in with a lot of kids right now from 2020 that are from out of state and different parts of the country, that it doesn't seem, with maybe the exception of Matt Cross, it doesn't necessarily seem like they're leading for anybody in particular, or you don't really feel 100% confident that they're going to land somebody kind of from out of this footprint. I think this assistant coaching hire is going to be interesting. A lot of people have asked me kind of what direction they're going to go. Are they going to go for somebody who's a player development? Are they going to go more for a recruiting standpoint? And I think 100% the focus has to be on recruiting for this position, because this class in 2020 is really pivotal when you look at the future of IU basketball. Archie Miller's going into year three, and I think a lot of people are circling year four as kind of a make-or-break year in his tenure, and the players that are being recruited for this 2020 class are going to be on that roster, and I think it's important that they have a strong class. So if they can go out and get an assistant coach that has a pipeline built in somewhere where they can get a couple players, whether it be from the D.C. area, the New York area, it doesn't really matter where the players come from, but they just need a couple of talented players from outside of this natural footprint. I think recruiting in Indiana is going really well, but I think right now kind of the missing piece from that standpoint is being able to reel in some guys from outside of this area. If you kind of look back at the recruiting in recent years, they really haven't landed a notable out-of-state prospect since the summer of 2017, I think, is when Race Thompson and Jerome Hunter committed to the program. Beyond that, it's been mostly in-state kids So if they can go out in 2020 and reel in a couple from outside of this area, I think it really sets them up to kind of get back on track from a recruiting momentum, which I think is right now is kind of the biggest question mark for me going forward in this program. After last season's disappointment, how are they going to build excitement on the recruiting trail for guys to want to come to Indiana? Because I think a lot of people looked at last year as an opportunity to kind of cash in on Romeo being there and Juwan Morgan, obviously, and to have a team that made the tournament make a deep run. I felt like, you know, if they would have been able to do that, it would have set them up for success in the coming years. But right now, it just kind of feels like things have stagnated a little bit. So I think they need a shot in the arm, so to speak. And I think a new assistant coach that could reel in a couple guys could go a long way in doing that.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest. You bring up an interesting angle as far as the assistant coach position opening goes. And we've talked lots about Ed Schilling's departure and maybe what happened or didn't happen there. We've talked a lot about should it be an Indiana guy? We've covered it really from all angles. But I think you bring up a good point that where a coach is from, the geographic part of the country, what connections they have to high school coaches, to AAU coaches, maybe even more importantly in the area that they're from or that they've worked in for a number of years, that's very important when it comes to landing prospects. And I think Indiana schools, not just Indiana, not just Purdue, not just Notre Dame, not just the big ones, but even the mid-major programs, the Evansvilles, the Indiana States, the Ball States, etc., are very blessed because in the state of Indiana there are so many great basketball players because of the way basketball is in our state. But when you look at Archie Miller's current staff and you think about who potentially, and we really don't, I don't think, have any clue on specific names, but who potentially it could be, maybe you could go through the current staff now, Alex, and talk about the area that the coach is from and some of the connections maybe that they've already utilized in their role at Indiana. Because we think about IU and we think about the state of Indiana and Archie saying he's going to protect those borders and keep the top players here. But he really strategically has put together a coaching staff that has some deep connections in other parts of the country. And some of those guys in their short time at Indiana have already used those connections to bring players in.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tom Osterman obviously brought in Grace Thompson based on his relationships in the Minnesota area, which is where he's originally from. But I think he, from a kind of recruiting standpoint on the staff, is the clear kind of ace recruiter because he's done it at a variety of programs. He's worked, you know, he worked with Billy Donovan at Florida. He's been involved in several high-profile recruitments, and he was it's about the relationships, and he's been around long enough to be able to build a lot that he knows a lot of guys around the country, and he can, you know, you can feel pretty confident with him trying to go in anywhere and get a kid. Where Bruiser Flint, you know, more of the East Coast, Northeast area, because that's where he coached and, you know, grew up and all that. And obviously IU is trying to kind of make inroads there with guys like RJ Davis, who's from the New York area. We'll see if, you know, kind of what Bruiser's been trying to do out there actually pays some dividends on the trail. And then Archie Miller, you know, he's kind of the same in a lot of ways as Ostrom, in that he's worked a variety of places, obviously worked at Arizona under his brother Sean Miller, worked a long time at Ohio State. He's kind of been around everywhere, and he's a guy that can go get guys anywhere. But this specific situation, I think, kind of is important because it's not, you don't want to hire a coach just because they can go get, you know, a certain guy. But if you have somebody that you can get that you feel like has a tie in, and people aren't going to necessarily love this comparison because it obviously didn't work out for IU or Louisville really in terms of you know, his long term viability. But you look at what Kenny Johnson was able to do when he came into IU. He had relationships with the team takeover program in the D.C. area where he was able to come in immediately and get guys, you know, like a Stanford Robinson. He also went in and got Troy Williams from the Boo Williams program. He got Noah Vonleh. The list kind of goes on there. And so you're kind of looking for a young, this is my opinion, I think you're kind of looking for a young, hungry, up-and-coming guy who maybe has relationships to high school programs or AAU programs in a specific part of the country where you feel pretty confident that he's going to be able to, over the next 3 or 4 years, reel in some guys. And also, I mean, you don't want to bring in somebody that doesn't have a coaching acumen or who's not going to help you from a player development or X's and O's standpoint. But let's be honest. I mean, the name of the game in college basketball, more than anything else, is getting talent. And right now, the Big Ten at large, I think one of its biggest problems is the talent that the league has is just not on par with the Big 12, the Big East, the ACC, the SEC. I mean, this year they're only bringing in one McDonald's All-American. That's Trace Jackson Davis. Last year they brought in two, Romeo Langford, who's now in the NBA, and Jalen Smith at Maryland. And these other leagues are bringing in five, six, seven McDonald's All-Americans on a year-in, year-out basis, not only for Indiana, but the Big Ten in general. And I think recruiting right now has to be a major reason cited that we're now approaching 20 years that the league has not won a national championship. I mean, there's definitely a direct correlation with that. So you got to bring in somebody that can find, identify, and get players. I mean, that's the lifeblood of your program. If you don't have players, you're not going to have a job after a couple more years.
Alex Bozich inside the hall talking about the coaching vacancy, the assistant coaching spot currently open at IU right now. Let's switch gears and talk a little Romeo Langford. In fact, coming up in the next segment, we're going to have a replay of a portion of the interview yesterday with Kyle Draper, who's the pre- and post-game Celtics television host, where we really talk a lot about Romeo and his fit at Boston and what perhaps the roster really for the Celtics and the makeup of the Celtics could look like for Romeo's rookie year. But by all accounts so far, just from what I read and from what Kyle mentioned yesterday that's going to replay here later in the program, I'm not sure how hopeful I am now that Romeo Langford is active with the Celtics Summer League team out in Vegas coming up here this weekend.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that's going to happen, and really I don't necessarily see a reason to rush him. It'd be good to get him the experience. You also don't want to have a setback, and you want him ready for training camp in September. So I understand people were excited to potentially see him on the court and watch him basketball here in July, but it just doesn't seem like that's going to happen based on kind of the videos that we've seen and what the Summer League coach has said. It seems like he's going to be out there watching, supporting his teammates, but not playing. And I really think that's probably the best route to go, because you don't want a situation where he re-injures himself. I'm really looking forward to the start of, you know, training camp and preseason games, though, just to kind of see what he's able to do in terms of remaking his shot. Because I think, you know, I mentioned this to you, Matt, but I went back and watched a couple of videos from early in his, I won't say early, but, you know, that run you guys had in 2016 where you won the state championship, and Romeo's shot and how it looked, and compared it to how it looked last year at IU. And there's a noticeable difference in the form, the release, just how it looked. And I wonder how much that had to do with him feeling discomfort in his wrist. So I'm interested to see how it looks when he's completely healthy. There's been a couple of things posted on social media where he's been working with the Celtics staff in terms of his form and things like that. I don't know if even one picture where they had him, I think his left hand, they had like a ping pong paddle on his left hand, I guess trying to get him to hold that hand straight and then just use more of his right wrist to kind of flick the shot up towards the basket. So that's going to be interesting to see. But, yeah, it doesn't sound like he's going to play in Summer League, which I think is a smart decision for Boston. They want to protect their investment, make sure he's ready to go for the start of the season.
What do you think about the overall fit as far as Romeo in Boston for next year?
I think it's tough for him to. I think it's going to be tough for him to carve out a regular role. Although I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing for his long-term future if he's brought along slowly. You see a lot of guys in the NBA who are thrust into situations where they're poorly coached. They don't really have an organization that's necessarily good at player development, and guys come in and they don't play well and they lose confidence early on. Where I think the advantage of him going to a place like Boston, you know, he may not play as much as he wants to, but he's going to have established guys in front of him that he can go against every day in practice, that he can work with, that he can study, that he can learn from, that are going to teach him good habits about how to be a professional. Because you look at, you know, a situation like, you know, going to a Phoenix where they're just kind of the roster churning is evident, and guys get, you know, they just shipped out Josh Jackson, who was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, he was considered one of the best prospects in all of basketball, and they've really done nothing to develop him. Whereas a program like Boston, they've got a good infrastructure. They've, from all accounts, have a really good coach, Brad Stevens. They've got a good development staff. They've got a good front office, and they're going to be committed to developing Romeo for the long term. So I know he's probably going to want to play more than he's going to get a chance to, but I think for his long-term development, I think he's still a young guy, I think only 19 years of age. He's probably got a couple years where he's going to have to learn the ropes a little bit, but you hope by year two or three that he's ready to go and play a bigger role. But I think this year could be a bit of a learning opportunity for him. It wouldn't surprise me to see him bounce down to the G League at times and just to have a chance to play a little bit more because, you know, Boston's a team that's going to be, you know, top three or four in the East and trying to win, trying to get to the finals. So I don't know how conducive that's going to be for a rookie to play major minutes.
Alex Bozich inside the hall with us today on the 4th of July. Alex, we appreciate your dedication with this segment, coming on with us today. Always look forward to it, and we'll do it again next Thursday.
Absolutely, Matt. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, Alex Bozich with us. Don't forget to check out InsideTheHall.com. At Inside the Hall on Twitter. Coming up in the next segment, a replay of a portion of our interview from yesterday with Kyle Draper, who's a former Louisville Sports TV guy. He's now NBC Sports Boston, hosts the Celtics pre- and post-game television shows, and he joined us yesterday to talk a lot about Romeo and the Celtics, and I thought it was a great chat. He had some good information, some good opinions on things, good read on things, really, and you would expect him to, given how close he is with the team, with the franchise. So we'll have a portion of that interview next as we wrap things up on 4th of July, our special edition of the program, on the air with you today, live here for the program. We'll head to a break and come back with a replay of Kyle Draper talking more Romeo Langford next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment. We're going to replay a clip from Kyle Draper, the Celtics pre- and post-game television host, where we talk about Romeo Langford and the Celtics. A lot of good information here. Here's what we had with Kyle yesterday. I know recently you had an opportunity. I saw a clip where you were interviewing Brad Stevens, but recently you had an opportunity as well to sit down for an interview with Romeo Langford. I know a lot of people that follow every move Romeo makes have probably seen the interview, but talk a little bit about what he had to say. And gosh, he's come a long way from his time at New Albany, from his time when he'd sit down and join us from time to time on this program, just as far as how well-spoken he is and a little bit louder of a voice and definitely much more prepared to handle the lights and interviews and all the media responsibilities that come along with an NBA rookie.
Yeah, and the thing that struck me about Romeo, you know, from the first time I saw him here in Boston when he came last week is the way he interacted with his fellow rookies, you know, and the Celtics drafted four guys, and you can already tell those four guys have like a bond. I would say Romeo is probably the quietest of them. You know, I talked to Jim Shannon over there at New Albany about Romeo, and the thing that struck me is, you know, you look at a guy who, you know, was selling out gyms, high school gyms in Indiana, who went on to start IU, but yet he's still a humble kid. You know, he doesn't carry himself like he's some big megastar. And I think, you know, that's something that struck me also when I talked to him. So, yeah, we had a good conversation, 10 to 15 minutes, and the thing I love most about him is he's serious about his craft. He's serious about basketball. And, you know, a lot of people up here in Boston aren't too familiar with him, but I am. Just from that Indiana connection and him going to New Albany, I followed him. And I think he's going to be, you know, an all-star caliber kind of player here in Boston. I was really excited when the Celtics drafted him.
Kyle, everybody wants to know, and I know the Celtics fans your way want to know as well, but is there a chance Romeo's going to get to play in the Summer League. We saw a story yesterday on Celtics.com that even had a picture of him doing some shooting work with a ping pong paddle taped to his off shooting hand as they try to perfect or maybe get his form back to what it was pre the thumb injury. Any insight, or do you have a gut feeling with what you've seen go on so far in some of the practices getting ready for the Summer League in Vegas with him on the sideline, with him doing shooting drills? Is there a legitimate chance you think they want to work him into some minutes if he's cleared to do so?
Well, that's the thing, if he's cleared to do so. But I'll be honest, I don't think we'll see him in Summer League. You know, he's coming off the thumb surgery, and I think, you know, they understand that, you know, while you would like to see him in Summer League and get him that taste, it's more important to make sure he's healthy. So even though he's practicing and working out with the guys, I don't think he'll be quite ready for live game action. So, you know, we're going to have to wait a little while longer to see Romeo Langford in Celtic Green. But, you know, and the organization knew this going in. You know, this is not a surprise or anything. They talked about some issue and how they want him to get healthy. So, you know, if I was just going on my gut, I'd say we won't see him. They got four Summer League games beginning Saturday. I don't think he'll play. And it's something we expected, though. You know, I don't want fans to be all disappointed or anything like that. We need this guy to get healthy so that he's ready for the season.
Everything that's been put out, stories, stuff on the Celtics website, it sure looks like regardless what happens with his ability to play or not play in the Summer League, and I have to agree with you, it does not look hopeful that we'll see him. But there definitely has been some opportunities for Romeo, major opportunities to get terminology, to watch his teammates. I saw a picture of him off on the side with one of the coaches watching something on a computer. I can only imagine it was something with the offense or the defense or sets. So a lot of learning can go on right now for Romeo Langford, who it sure sounds like is going to have some pretty serious expectations and also some pretty real opportunities for the Celtics team next year.
Yeah, but you know that the thing about Romeo, and this is why I think Boston is the perfect situation for him, he's not coming in and has to be the savior of a franchise. He doesn't have to come in and immediately be the number one option for this franchise. The things, you know, that's so good about the Celtics organization, they can bring him along slowly. There is kind of some competition out there when you look at some of the wing players the Celtics do have, you know, whether it's Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, you could throw in Marcus Smart there as well. So Romeo's going to have to earn his minutes, no doubt about it. But I think by season's end, he'll be sort of a rotation guy. He'll be a guy that gets some minutes that, you know, when they need some offense off the bench. It'll be interesting to see, though, how it all plays out, because I fully expect the Celtics to make some sort of move trade-wise at some point this season, because they do have a lot of wing players. And so, I think Romeo will be here, but maybe look at some of those other guys, as I mentioned, as possible trade targets. But here's the thing. I know Brad Stevens loves Romeo. Brad has followed him, obviously, that Indiana connection with Brad, having coached at Butler and being from Indiana. He's followed Romeo's career, very closely. So I know Brad's a big fan of him.
We're talking with Kyle Draper. He's host of the Celtics pre- and post-game shows on NBC Sports Boston, among other things, joining us today to talk Romeo and the Celtics as well. You mentioned the draft class. Obviously, Romeo, the lottery pick there at number 14, but some other interesting members of that draft class for the Celtics, also some other connections to the state of Indiana in that draft class as well. You talked about the bond and that Romeo was maybe the quietest of the draft picks, the draft class, I should say, for the Celtics this year. When you think about not just Romeo, but the entire class, including Carson Edwards, what maybe are your expectations or thoughts about how the Celtics did overall with what happened a week and a half or so ago in Brooklyn?
I love their picks. You know, when you look at the guys that they selected, whether it's Carson Edwards or Grant Williams, they fill a specific need for the Celtics. Like Carson Edwards, they need a backup point guard. They need a guy that can provide scoring off the bench. We know what Carson did at Purdue, you know, just coming off the bench, putting up big numbers, 40-plus points three times, 30-plus seven times. So, you know, this guy's a scorer, no doubt about it. And he walks with a swagger, too, that I think the Celtics are looking for. But, you know, one thing else, you know, they're all good guys. And I think that was very important for the Celtics to go out there and get guys that, you know, not only can play on the floor, but can make you proud in the locker room and off the court as well. And I've been to a lot of Celtics press conferences over the years, and a lot of times when they introduce new players, you know, sometimes you get a vibe. Well, with this group, you get a vibe that all these guys are humble, approachable. They're not divas, and I think that was critical for the Celtics this offseason.
Kyle Draper, my guest on this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. We've talked some about Brad Stevens, but obviously a guy that is very well thought of here in our area and throughout the entire Hoosier State for what he did at Butler, and he's got Indiana written all over him, even going back to his days as a high school player at Zionsville. I saw an opportunity for you. I think you kind of emceed, anchored a fan event where you got to talk with Coach Stevens about some things going on with the offseason recently, but very envious of you. You've got the chance to interact, to interview, to work with him, I know, on a very regular basis, and I can't think of a more first-class person to talk basketball with.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Brad. What you see is what you get. You know, he's probably, you know, the most ego-less guy that I know. You know, it's never about him. He's always making it about his players, the organization, his team, his family, whatever. You know, and so when he guides the Celtics to back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals, you know, the first thing he does is put it on the players and the organizations. And so I love Brad, man. He's you know, when you talk about covering coaches, one thing about Brad, and from a media standpoint, no matter what the question, he'll try to give you an answer. You know, we've seen some coaches in the past get angry at questions being asked, or try to make the reporter, you know, look bad. Well, Brad never does that. He always works with you, and you know, he keeps it professional, obviously, and I'm okay with that. You know, I'm here to do a job. He's there to do a job as well. But you know, he's a humble guy. It's funny because we did do that event last week, and him and his family, they were in Paris the night before. They flew back that night, and the first thing in the morning, he got up and drove 2 hours to come to this event, and that's the kind of guy Brad is. And he was early for that event also. You know, a lot of people might have some jet lag or, you know, need some time to adjust. Brad knew that, you know what, he made a commitment and he was going to be there. He's, you know, what you see is what you get, and there's not a better person out there than Brad Stevens.
All right, Kyle Draper from yesterday. If you want to hear that full interview, you can do so on our podcast stream on SoundCloud or Apple Podcast as well. We'll have Kyle back from time to time to talk Romeo Langford and kind of be our connection inside Boston and the team there. Also, a quick note before we sign off on this 4th of July, Josh Rogers, New Albany product, played college baseball at U of L, has had some major league opportunities. He underwent ulnar collateral ligament revision surgery, UCL revision surgery, on Wednesday. That was announced by the manager of the Orioles. It was performed, the surgery was in Arlington, Texas, by a Dr. Keith Meisner. And, of course, Josh had Tommy John surgery back in 2013. He's expected to miss at least a year. So best wishes in the recovery for Josh Rogers. Have a great, safe 4th of July. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.